My name is Kathy Lloyd. I am the mother of six children, the grandmother of six and a half. I am also a certified nurse midwife and a perinatal clinical nurse specialist. Both personally and professionally, I believe in the importance of immunizations. Today, I'm here representing the many healthcare workers at Renown Regional Medical Center in Reno, Nevada, who created the first full-scope hospital-based cocooning program. And I'm going to talk about why we did this and the process involved today, hoping that perhaps it will inspire some of you to start a program that is proactive and innovative in protecting newborns and infants less than 1 year of age from the risks of pertussis and other diseases. Now, okay. The literature is full of documentation that pertussis is on the rise worldwide above the normal cyclical patterns. Even in populations with high vaccination coverage of infants and children, Bordetella pertussis continues to wreak havoc. Waning of vaccine-induced immunity is frequently cited as an important factor that contributes to this problem. And since pertussis often goes undiagnosed or is difficult to diagnose in adolescents and adults, the number of cases of pertussis worldwide is likely much larger than the ones that we see. Oops, go the other way. In the pertussis surveillance report 2002 to 2005, the number of pertussis cases reported to the CDC were noted to be at a 45-year high, with 122% increase noted between the years 2003 and 2004, and we know they are still rising. Even knowing that the majority of cases among adolescents and adults go unreported, it's highly likely that there are more cases than this. The largest range of increase is in the adolescent and adult population. However, the largest complication of pertussis to adolescents and adults is the fact that they can give this disease to newborns and infants who fare much more poorly with the disease itself. In 2004, a CDC study determined that the source of infant pertussis in 43% of the cases studied, the source was identified as a person with an acute cough illness who had contact with the case infant 7 to 20 days before the infant's onset of cough. And the sources that were identified were mothers, siblings, fathers, and grandparents. 75% of the primary vectors were family members. The other 25% constituted healthcare workers, childcare workers, and friends. Wendell Bowe et al. In their 2007 study determined that family or household members were the source in 76 to 83% of the cases that they studied. So who are the major sources? It's the family. Okay. One strategy for protecting infants is to increase their herd immunity by vaccinating close contacts. France was the first country to induce a booster for adolescents in 1998. I don't know if the French were the ones who coined the term cocooning, but we do find it clearly in the Canadian research from Halperin et al. And in the Global Pertussis Initiative of 2001. The term cocooning clearly describes what is being done to protect the newborn from disease. By immunizing all the close contacts of the newborns, you surround the newborn in a cocoon of herd immunity until that infant is old enough through a series of vaccinations at about age one to protect themselves from the disease. I first heard the term cocooning in May of 2006 when some friends from the Nevada Immunization Coalition brought me some information. We had just instituted the birth dose hepatitis B program in the hospital that I had recently started at, and they thought I had free time on my hands, and so I could start a cocooning program. Sounded interesting. Then they brought me a DVD that was made by Sanofi Pasteur and the CDC, and I was hooked on the concept. We decided with our increasingly low immunization rates in the state of Nevada that we owed it to our community and our state to try and promote a program that would help protect newborns and infants from pertussis. And so that's how we got started. Now this was a great idea. How are we going to make it a reality? Healthcare providers, pediatricians, obstetricians, family practice, certified nurse midwives, advanced nurse practitioners would be the ideal source for immunizing pregnant women before, immunizing women, adolescents, and adults before they become pregnant. But we know from research that 50% of pregnancies are unplanned. Unfortunately, in our community, Tdap is not being given to pregnant women. But even if they aren't going to immunize the woman, there are family members that come along for these visits. And wouldn't it be a nice thing if we were immunizing the father or the mother or the sister so that they were fully immunized by the time the baby was born? When I questioned several of the OBs that I work with, they gave me three reasons for why they are not promoting vaccination of pregnant women at this time. One is, they're way too busy. Two was, something to do with billing and coding and reimbursement. And the third was, well, isn't that what the health department's for? Like they were concerned they would put the health department out of business. Health departments are always willing to immunize. Unfortunately, they have to go out and reach their contacts, and they do have to bill for their vaccines. And unfortunately, these two events sometimes prevent our clients from going and seeking the immunizations through the health department. As for school systems, many states are mandating that 11 to 12-year-olds be immunized with Tdap before they go back to school. And this is going to help that population when they become parents in the future. In the interim, there is a gap that we need to fill. It was apparent that we needed to create a hospital-based cocooning program in order to reach the largest numbers. Women in labor and their key family members trapped in the hospital seemed to be a population that could be more easily reached. Okay. That looks fuzzy, but could be my contacts. The Three Musketeers had it right when they said, all for one and one for all. When you collaborate with others who have the same goal, you are far more likely to succeed than if you try something on your own. With the limited time and resources that we all face, collaboration is the key to creating programs or working on large projects. Renowned Regional Medical Center provided the facility, the staff, and the willingness to create something new and different in the practice of immunization. The Nevada State Immunization Program found a way to provide the Tdap vaccine to us without cost and helped us to implement the state immunization registry in-house to capture all of this immunization data for the state of Nevada. The Washoe County Health Department provided advice, educational support, forms for use, and help with all the process steps. Jeanette O'Brien from the Washoe County Health Department, who is sitting right there, refused to speak today, but she is here providing support, and you need to understand this isn't my program, this is our program. Okay, the setting. Begun in 1862 as a clinic in the Washoe Valley to treat an outbreak of smallpox among minors, this hospital has had a long tradition in fighting vaccine-preventable diseases. Please note that I was not at the perinatal CNS at that time. 144 years later, that small clinic has grown into Renown Regional Medical Center, which is located in the heart of sunny Reno, Nevada. Renown Regional is a not-for-profit private hospital with 859 beds. It is also a tertiary care facility doing about 4,800 births a year. With a close proximity to the Northern California border and no state income tax, Reno has seen a great infusion of population in the last several years. And we have also seen a growing indigent population in that group. For all of these reasons, Renown Regional Medical Center was an ideal site to create a cocooning program to create all of the new babies that were being delivered there. Collaboration is the key word that I am going to be using over and over today. It helped us to find ways to build a firm foundation for our cocooning program. And the four blocks of our foundation are funding, vaccine, education, and documentation. Funding can come from a variety of sources. It can be county or state health department entities. It can come from grants. It can come from reimbursement or from private funding or a combination of the above. Vaccine is wonderful, but you still have to work out the logistics of how you're going to transport it, how you're going to store it, how you're going to track your doses, and how you're going to reorder so that you don't run out. Education is critical for everyone involved in the care of newborns through infants of the age of one. Documentation. Make sure that when you consider this type of a program, you include your medical records people and your hospital attorneys. It may differ from site to site and state to state, but our attorney felt that a signed consent form for the Tdap, kept in a sealed envelope that was then placed in the infant or the newborn's chart, would provide privacy according to HIPAA regulations and yet allow that information to be available if that infant came down with pertussis later. Is that it? Okay. Back one. Start right here. We took our preliminary plans to the director of maternal child nursing in the hospital, and we got her full support. We then decided what hospital departments would be involved in this process and invited the managers from each of those departments to come to our planning meeting. We showed them the DVD, and once they understood the scope of the problem with pertussis and the concept of cocooning, they were excited about being involved in this process. We asked them not only for their support, but for their ideas. And they amazingly were very supportive, came up with some very creative ideas that we never would have thought they would have gone for. And we each took assignments and began the process to making our program work. We met frequently to stay engaged and updated, and right from the beginning, we set a start date for our program, so that would motivate us and keep us moving along. Jeanette came to all of our meetings to provide enthusiasm and support from the health department. She was also very helpful in creating our consent forms. Once we had the process in place, we printed up the CDC's VIS education sheets and the TDAP consent forms in both English and Spanish, and we were ready to move on to our target populations. Okay, in June 2006, we took our plan and the start date to both the pediatric and the OB department meetings, and with their support, we began vaccinating on the spot. I had the syringes in my pocket and the vaccine in the other pocket, and we didn't give them any moment to get away and say, get back to us later. In fact, they were so supportive of this that they let us put an order for Tdap vaccination for all of our mothers on postpartum on the standing order set immediately. We then took the same system to the nursing staff meetings and began the education and the injection process all over. We explained how the process would work and what their responsibilities would be in each area. And most of the nurses were very enthusiastic about the cocooning program. I, however, was not very excited to learn that not all nurses or all physicians are excited or believe in immunizations. But that's an entire different talk, so we won't go there. Women who were admitted to labor and delivery who were not in active labor or in pain were to be educated and consented there. We had the parents sign to either accept or decline the vaccine, and the reasons for refusal was data that we would use later on to help us find other ways to improve our immunization rates. All of the delivered mothers had their questions answered and then received their Tdap immunization on postpartum. The father or key family members were also vaccinated on postpartum, and the fathers were encouraged not to faint. We only had two doses of vaccine for each newborn allocated. And so if either one or both of the parents refused for whatever reason, we then gave that vaccine to whatever key family member would be providing most of the support or care of that newborn. Finally, on July 6, 2006, we had an official kickoff activity, invited the entire hospital, the public, and the press to announce the start and the goals of our cocooning program. We were excited. There are two OBs and a bunch of labor and delivery nurses in this picture. The process that has worked for us is described in this slide. If I knew how to work the computer better, I would have made an algorithm, but my education was in nursing and midwifery, not in computer sciences, so bear with me. The Nevada State Health Department transports the vaccines to renowned regional pharmacy, where they store it and log it in and dispense it through our dispensing system, the Diebold. Printing provides the English and Spanish paperwork, which is the educational VIS sheets and the consents, in both English and Spanish, and they are provided to the units. The education and consents are usually done on labor and delivery. However, if someone comes in pushing, we don't push the point at that point. We let them wait until they're on postpartum. This is also done in the NICU, with NICU parents and on peds for infants that are less than 1 year of age that are admitted. The nurses log all of the doses and the recipients on each unit. All of the doses are recorded and pharmacy reorders as the numbers get lower. Non-patient consents are put in an envelope that is sealed and put in the infant chart, as I mentioned before, and kept in medical records. And all of our doses are recorded in WebIZ, which is the Nevada State Registry Program. The demographic and refusal area data will be scanned for research later. Okay. Our labor and delivery nurses are eager to educate and consent for Tdap. And even those nurses, many of them that were hesitant in the beginning, have come back later saying, are you still offering that Tdap immunization? So slowly, we are winning them over. OK, Okay. Many mothers are educated and consented on labor and delivery. Okay. And the postpartum nurses are happy about protecting our newborns. They are doing this because it is the right thing to do, not because it is the easy thing to do. On postpartum, our new mothers are glad that Tdap is protecting their newborn. And our immunization rates for new mothers is 80% or higher. Many of our new fathers are happy to protect their newborns, not as many as the mothers. Our immunization rate for fathers is 50% or higher. And it's interesting that two key refusal rate reasons given are fear of needles. These are on guys that have tattoos all over their bodies and piercings, and there's no logic to it. And the second reason is oftentimes they're there for the birth, but then they go home, they have to go back to work, or they're involved in childcare, and we don't see them again. And this is a problem that we are going to start working on in the near future. Okay, the outcomes. The time frame from when we started the thought of our cocooning program to implementation was 6 weeks' time. We were highly motivated. When you're 50th in the nation for immunizations, you have nowhere to go but up. We gave our first vaccination on July 6, 2006, and in the 19 months since then, we have given almost 9,000 doses of Tdap vaccine. One of the staff nurses on postpartum asked me, well, why aren't we including the flu vaccine? Duh, okay. So we added flu to our cocooning program to further protect our infants. The clinical nurse specialist from oncology called me and said, couldn't I get involved in this for the family members of our children and adults that are immunocompromised? Would the same concept not work for them? And so as vaccine allowed, we encourage them during the influenza season to be part of it. A competing hospital in the community called us and said, we want to start a cocooning program, but we're not really sure how to do this. It's not really out there in the literature. And so with the consent of my director, I've gone to that hospital on numerous occasions. I've shared with them all of our information, including the lessons learned, our paperwork, our consents, and even the policies that I have written. We are willing to help any hospital that wants to start a cocooning program. Cocooning is hard work, especially in a facility where you do lots of deliveries. I have to give most of the credit to the nurses that work on labor and delivery and postpartum, who do the giant share of this work. I have given lots of vaccinations to healthcare providers, to nurses. I've even gone on the postpartum unit and helped out when it's been really, really busy. But the bottom line is our faithful nurses are doing this 24/7, and they continue with a positive attitude. The hardest lesson we have learned is data collection. How do we link the immunizations that we are providing with the specific infants that we are trying to protect? We have revised our data collection tool. We have inherited a scanner. We're designing a Scantron form, and we hope to hire someone with more computer skills than moi to do this in the future. Whenever a problem arose in the program, we were quick to find a reason because we are highly dedicated to this and would not be discouraged. It may take time for us to have enough data to prove that cocooning really does work in decreasing pertussis in our newborns and infants. But in the meanwhile, we do know that we're immunizing a lot of adolescents and a lot of adults, and we expect to see pertussis rates in the state of Nevada decrease. Meanwhile, we're happy that we're capturing all of this data in the state immunization registry because we don't want to be 50th forever. I can't end this presentation without acknowledging the key people in this collaboration, Jeanette and Doug, who were the other collaborators, the other musketeers. Kelly Cummings from Sanofi Pasteur, who gave us the seed of the idea. Denise Nelson, who was the director, who gave us her full support and wouldn't allow anyone to say, no, we don't want to do this. Okay. Jackie Whitley, who is here today representing our postpartum nurses who work so hard and are so enthusiastic. And finally, to Dr. Ann Schuchat, who came to visit us in April of 2007 and said that our program was on the right track, and we ought to bring this idea to this conference today. I thank all of you for the work you do to immunize and to protect our country. Thank you.